what he has for us this morning. I know you'll be encouraged, and we're going to talk about faith. We're also going to talk about a key ingredient of love that works with your faith. In fact, the title being Faith Works by Love. And you can put the word through in there. For a lot of times, if you're a King James reader, a lot of times when you see the word by, it actually means through. And in a lot of other versions, we'll have the word through in there. But faith that works through love, or faith that works by love, is what we're going to talk about. Well, let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we're, again, just grateful to have your word, to be able to press into it, to be able to dive in and to open up the scriptures, to allow you to speak to us, to allow you to penetrate our hearts through your word. And Lord, I know this morning there's many, many scriptures going to be thrown in that, Father, will just reveal what you are intending through your word as far as our faith and the love that works that faith, the love that expands it and causes it to grow and to flourish in our life, Lord. And we're praising you for it. We thank you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. So one of my sons had asked me last night as we're getting ready for bed. I went to Gillette and I got back really kind of late last night, about 9 o'clock or so. That's late for me. They were getting ready for bed, and so one of them asked me, Dad, what's your sermon about? What's the title of your sermon? And I said, well, it's Faith Works by Love. And he says, oh, you're going to teach on two of the big three, right? Because there's faith, hope, and love. And so he said, oh, you're going to teach on two of the big three. And I thought, well, I guess I am. You know, as far as that goes, that's kind of the way it is. Faith, hope, and love, the Bible says. Faith, hope, and love. And what I'm hoping to get across by the time we get done today is that the scripture says it's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Okay, and I hope we really get that, because faith works by love. And so when we get love, it is going to help us with the rest of it. Praise God. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, praise God. So God's plan for the Christian believer is that we walk by faith, right? We are to walk by faith. So if we're going to walk by faith, we have to know how faith operates. What makes it tick? What makes it function? How is it actually going to do anything in our life beyond our initial salvation? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So it's not based on living according to what we can see with our eyes. Okay? Because that will deceive us sometimes. What you hear with your ears sometimes will deceive you sometimes. Okay, so it's not based on just experience or based on what you see or hear around you. It is based on faith. We walk according to what we know by faith. Okay, and it is possible to know things by faith. Okay, so 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. The Apostle Paul says that now that we have received Jesus, now that we have received Christ, we became a believer, and now that he lives inside of us, we no longer live according to our flesh, but we live according to faith. Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, let me just redo that. Can I redo that? Do over that verse. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, there is a key right there when he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, the good news is that in order to be sure that we were successful in life and able to live and walk by faith, God didn't just say, do this, without empowering us to do it. God also empowered us with faith. He gave each one of us the gift of faith, okay, the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. Did I tell you I have a lot of scriptures this morning? I have a lot of scriptures this morning. So you can write them down. I know I'm going through them kind of fast. But Galatians, we did that one. Now it's Romans 12:3. God has dealt to every man or woman a measure of faith. Okay, God has given you that. That was something instilled in you from early on in life. God put it in you so that you would believe on him. You have that option. That's why I don't believe that there are people that are destined to not believe in God. Okay, I believe we're all given faith. The Bible says every man. Okay, it doesn't say some are dealt a measure of faith. It says every man. God has dealt a measure of faith. So it's not really a matter of trying to walk by faith. It's not a matter of whether you have faith at this point. It's a matter of applying and utilizing the faith that you do have. How can you walk in faith to be the most effective, or allow faith or prompt faith or energize your faith to be the most effective in this life that God has called you to live here on earth? As the Apostle Paul taught, he's one of those guys that he lived by faith. He's the one that taught a lot of this stuff. And so he's talking about living by faith and explaining how to go about doing that. And one of his prayers that he prays for his brothers and sisters in Christ is what we're about to read here in Ephesians. And I want you to listen to the language of love that he refers to, because he knows something about faith and he knows something about love. Okay, so let's look at Ephesians 3. Verses 14 through 19. Paul is praying for them, and he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner mind, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love." Okay, "that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that you can be filled with all the fullness of God." See, the Apostle Paul knew a lot about faith. Okay? He had lived a life of faith and he was teaching on it. He knew that faith works by love. Okay, so as he's praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ, as he's teaching so much of his writing, he talks about love and brings it back to the root, the foundation of love. Okay, because Paul was a man that, if you remember his story, he lived a life that he had a past. Some of you have a past. Some of me have a past. Right? He had a past that was filled with violence. It was filled with hatred, filled with pride. Okay, and he had at one time been a guy that spoke out against God, okay, cursing his name, persecuting Christians. Anybody that believed or preached in Jesus, they were going to jail or even stoned to death, put to death. Okay, Paul had lived on the wrong side. And yet, because of God's love for him, he saw that God's love for him was stronger than his hate for God. In other words, love conquers all, right? And Paul realized that. He came to that conclusion that no matter how hard he came against God, no matter what he did and how bad and evil and all those things that he did, God's love prevailed in saving him. Okay? And Paul knew that. Okay? And for many of us in our early time as a believer, we give our life to Christ, we get born again, born of the Spirit, there's that moment of pure humility that, oh my God, I was on my way to hell and now I'm not, and it's only because of Him. And there's that moment of, wow, God loves me that much. It's personal, it's real, it's tangible. We feel and experience, we know that God loves me enough to die, to send His Son to die for me. Okay? Well, Paul knew that. That God's love had prevailed over all his hatred and over all his mistakes. And so as he's writing to Timothy, who he called his son in the Lord, or someone that he had helped raise up in the Lord, he says this in 1 Timothy 1:12. He says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me," he's still giving him the credit, "for he has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious." He says, "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." He did not say it was just by faith, because love is what makes faith work. Love is what makes it happen. Paul knew that if the Lord love someone that was as foul and as wicked, as sinful, as nasty as he had been, then that kind of love that it took to save him must be the key to the whole thing. And that's what it is for us when we know that God is love and God so loved the world. We start reading the scriptures knowing that love is the key to the whole thing. And I know that being reminded of this morning, just reminding, because we all know that, yeah, God loves me. We'll say that. Okay, but to really be reminded and strengthened in the idea, the concept, the fullness that God loves me is going to change the way that you live your life. And I believe the more we grasp how much He loves us, the more it changes the way we live outside of the doors of the church, the way we get out and live our life. Because I'm not going to treat somebody that loves me that much and forgave me that much and that cares for me about that much, and I'm not going to go out and treat somebody else like junk, because God loves them just as much as He does love me. Okay, and so it changes the way that we live our life. Okay, God's love for you is the key to that, grabbing hold of that. Now, back a little bit more on faith. There's a chapter in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11. I don't think I pulled up the scriptures, but many of you know it. I know it as the Hall of Faith. Right? It is by faith they did this, and by faith they did that. And it gives a great description. It lists out all these numerous accomplishments in the kingdom of God, things that were accomplished by faith to encourage us to live by faith, okay? To encourage us to seek and pursue faith as one of the main components of our life with God is by faith. It talks about by faith how Noah built the ark, okay? By faith, Abraham confidently went out into a land that he did not know. Okay, it talks about how by faith Moses, you know, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, by faith the walls of Jericho came down, it says. By faith men and women of God subdued kingdoms. By faith they stopped the mouths of lions, and by faith they obtained the promises of God. That's Hebrews chapter 11. When the disciples were struggling at times in their faith, there was one point where they were trying to cast out, Jesus had told them, go out and cast out devils and heal them by name and do these things. So they're out doing that, and at one point they came upon a guy that had this son that they could not seem to get the demon out, kind of thing. And they were struggling with it. They were struggling with casting out that demonic spirit. Jesus reminded them that when you walk by faith, you can do anything. Okay, and so in Matthew 17:17, it says this, when they were saying, Lord, why could we not cast him out? It says, then Jesus answered and said unto them, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer you? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus simply rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart or separately and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So he's talking about faith. If you have faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. But later on again in Matthew 21:21, Jesus again tells them that by faith, by a little bit of faith, you can move mountains out of your way. Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you that if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which was done to the fig tree, which had withered up, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, not just a few, not just once in a while, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. But a huge part of believing is believing that God loves you and that He wants to fulfill that request. Okay? Here's the kicker. Okay? Faith works by love. If you do not think, or if you do not know how much God loves you, you will not believe and you will not receive. It's about knowing that God loves you. It's receiving what He intended for you. Again, as Paul is teaching the Christians in Galatia about grace and teaching them about the unmerited favor of God. Okay, he's teaching them about the blessings, the love of God. He tells them that the outward works, okay, like in their case, being circumcised, they were going back under the law, they were walking by faith and doing good, but they got kind of persuaded to go back under the law, and they started doing the things of the law and being circumcised and doing all that. So in their case, he tells them that the outward works, like being circumcised, as an effort to earn God's love, simply shows that they are not freely receiving the love that God had bestowed upon them through grace. Okay, he's saying you've strayed and forgotten how much God loves you, otherwise you wouldn't be doing these things. I'll show you that scripture, Galatians 5, 1 through 6, it says this. In Galatians chapter 5, he said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in that freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. But Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." Faith which worketh by love. Worketh in the Greek is a word that means to be activated, to be energized, to be empowered. Okay, faith worketh by love. Love is like faith. Love is to faith like gas is to your car. Okay, you don't put gas in your car, how far does your car go? Okay, it doesn't go very far. It goes till it runs out and then it's done. Okay, without putting gas in your car, it's not going to go anywhere. Without love, your faith is going to be ineffective. That's what he was telling them. Love activates your faith like food energizes your body. Okay, if you go a long time, some of you fast, I know I do, and when you fast, the longer you go without food, pretty soon your body starts getting a little more tired, a little more weak. Okay, your faith works by love. Love has to feed your faith. Love has to be involved in it. It has to energize it, to empower it, to make it accomplish something. For the Galatians, if they had believed, and this is Paul's point to them, that if they believed that Jesus loved them so much that he went to the cross and died and rose from the dead all for them, then they would know that they do not have to try and earn God's love and blessing anymore. You're saved by grace through faith. Okay, it is the love of God that has been poured out to make that happen. You can have all the faith in the world, the Bible says, but if you do not have love, it does you no good at all. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter for many of us. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses. Paul again speaking says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity," which is love, "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing." I want to read that verse again to you, and if you don't have an Amplified Bible, don't read along because it'll confuse you. But the Amplified Bible elaborates a little bit on some of those words. It says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not a love for others growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. And if I have the gift of prophecy and I speak a new message from God to the people and I understand all mysteries and I possess all knowledge and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but do not have love reaching out to others, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it does me no good at all. See, it's not just about your love for God. Hey, many people have an attitude, yeah, talking about, how'd you walk with God? Oh, I love God. I love Him so much. I love God. The real thing is, do you know how much He loves you? Because that's what makes the difference. It's not just about your love for God, and it's not just about your love for others, but it's about the love that grows out of you and grows out of God's love for you. That's the love that empowers your faith to believe for the promises of God. Okay, that's the love that allows you to receive the goodness of God, the faith and the blessing and the favor of God. It's not just God's love in you, but it's an understanding of how much God loves you. Okay, if you pray and you believe that you're praying a prayer of faith, and yet the first thing that you think, or the first thing that you know comes out of your mouth when it doesn't come to pass right away is, well, there must be something wrong with me to make God not love me, because I prayed for it and it didn't happen. God doesn't love me. If that's the first thoughts, the first feelings you have, then you're not understanding God's love for you. Dear, God's love for you is a true, intimate, powerful love that supersedes how you just behaved. It supersedes how you acted yesterday or what you're going to do tomorrow. God's love is more powerful, is bigger than that, is the best way to say that. Doubt is one of those things that is rooted in an insecurity about God's love for you. That's why we doubt. Remember the guy that said, help thou my unbelief. He needed help. He was doubting, right? And he wanted to get through that, wanted to get to it. He did believe. He needed to know that Jesus loved him enough to actually do it for him. That's where he says, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Get rid of the part of me that is holding back. And what he did was to show him, Jesus literally, physically showed him, I do love you this much, watch. And he healed his boy. Mark 11, 22 through 24 gives a good description of faith. Jesus, it says in Mark 11, 22, Jesus answers and says unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Believe that you will receive them, not because you did everything right, not because you said it the right way, not because you repeated and stood in faith, a positive confession, not because you faked it till you made it. Okay? It's not about that. You receive because you understand and receive that Jesus loves you. He went to the cross and died for you. He rose from the dead to give you new life so that He could bless you. He wanted to do that for you. So how do you know if you're at the point in life when your prayers of faith are rooted in love? John described himself in his gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay, I love that about him. He's the only writer that said that. He said this, it was about Jesus whom, or it was about John whom Jesus loved. Okay, he described himself as the one that Jesus loved. That was the key for everything that he did. He tells us that the best indicator of someone that knows how much God really loves them is displayed in their interactions with others. If you have bitterness in your heart, if you have hatred in your heart towards others, you do not yet truly know the love that God has for you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. John said, if a man says that I love God and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Well, God loves you unconditionally. He sent his son to die for you. John, right before he wrote what we just read, says in 1 John 4:9, he said, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought also to love one another. This is the same guy that said, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, a lot of people have been standing. I made a note last week, I think even from the drum set, on Pam's shirt, of faith over fear. Hey, a lot of people are living in faith over fear. As Christians, we are standing in faith, trusting in God more than what we see. Okay, the Bible says that there is no fear in love. Okay, because perfect love casts out fear. Okay, 1 John 4:18 says simply, "There is no fear in love." Okay, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect yet in love. When you know that God loves you, you do not fear any outcome. Okay? You're going to pray in faith and trust God, because God loves you. God's going to work it out. God's got your back. God's got your front. God's got everything in between. Okay? And so you're just going to trust God that whatever the outcome is, I'm trusting God. And I'm believing by faith that he's going to take care of me. That is, knowing God's got me, I'm loved by God, thank you, Jesus. That's what I need to know. Okay, and that is walking. That's when you know that God has every area of your life, so that you don't have to fear, you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to fear any outcome. You stand and walk in confidence, in faith, secure in God's plan for you. God's got it. Okay, 1 John 4:19. The very next verse there says that we love him simply because he loved us first. And we love him because he first loved us. When you know that God loves you, you're going to pray with the understanding that the outcome has nothing to do with whether or not or how much God loves you, other than you're just walking by faith, praying and believing, knowing that God loves you. When you walk in love, then you walk with contentment. When you walk in love, you walk with more hope. When you walk in love, you definitely walk with a stronger trust towards God. The disciples said that they knew and believed the love that God had for them. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. For God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him." Okay? This is how they walked in that anointing. This is how they walked by faith. And you know, what we see is, think of as persecution is nothing compared to what those guys went through. And so this is how they lived their life by faith. This is how they trusted in God, knowing that God loves us enough to send his only begotten Son to die for us. And so we will therefore live our life from that. Okay? This is how they walked in that anointing, and this is how you will walk in that anointing as well. This is how you'll walk by confidence. This is how you'll walk by faith, is knowing that God loves you. Okay? Live like you're loved. Okay? There's a song out there, I can't remember who sings it, "Live Like You're Loved." Okay? It makes sense. When you live by love, you know that you're loved. It puts a peace in your heart. It puts a hope in your future, and it puts a joy in your step. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Praise God. Father, we're praising you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for that unconditional love, the grace that you have bestowed upon us, that we may know and experience and live in your love, Father, that we may receive it openly, that we can pray knowing that you care for us, our requests when we're made known, You just love on us. You want to answer those prayers and send the right answer, the best thing for us, Lord. And we trust in you, we rely on you, and we're depending on you, Father, that as we walk in understanding of your love for us, that you will continue to flourish us in this life here on earth. The areas of life that have seemed dismal or been dark, Lord, that you are still leading us through that by your love, Lord. And we will walk by faith, trusting in you every day until we see the truth and the goodness of God come to pass in our life. Lord, we're praising you this morning. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the word, just teaching us and showing us more about you and opening the heavens, Lord, and pouring out that blessing upon us, Lord. We're praising you this morning, and it's in Jesus' name that we say amen. Amen and amen.